Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Dixie Hollins, yes, High School Rebels. We're now the Royals.
Yes, I like it.
And this is my third season at Hollins High. Took over a program that was kind of down in the dumps.
Yes.
And now in our third year, we finished the regular season 17-6-1.
Fantastic.
And the other night, Thursday night, we played for the Pinellas County Athletic Conference Championship against Dunedin and beat them in a 8-1-0 thriller at Blue Jays Complex.
Love it, love it. And if you don't mind, Coach, fantastic. By the way, I actually graduated from Hollins 87. I got the chance to play football with a former baseball and football player. You might know his name, Kurt Abbott.
Yes.
Kurt Abbott played a few days. I used to go down to Miami and catch him when he played for the Marlins. Of course, they won the World Series in 87.
Exactly.
And even then, I knew the sacrifice, because here he was playing football, and football was enough, but the sacrifice for the baseball, and I knew it was his first love. Tell us some of the things that, some of the players, some of the things you got going on, that you've seen that turnaround now in the program and why it's carrying to the success on the field.
I've been coaching ball for, this is my 35th year.
Wow.
And this group of kids that, well, the incoming ninth graders, my first year there, to go along with what was already there, just the bond that these, the closeness, the family atmosphere type with these kids. And then the first year there was the COVID year. So at that point, you know, I always tell people, not that, I mean, COVID is a bad thing, but it was almost like it was a good time for our season to end, because playing so many youngsters, we were 1-9 when they shut down the high school season. So the young kids that had come into the program my first year got 10 games under their belt. Last year we finished 13-13 and made it to the district semifinals.
Right.
And now this year, the accomplishments that we, you know, we won the PCAC South Conference, won the county championship. We're the number one. We're hosting the district tournament at Hollins, and we're the number one seed going in. So, I mean, these kids have just the growth that, you know, that they and the process that they've gone through to, you know, get to this stage. And I guess the great thing about it all is we start two seniors. We only have two seniors on our team.
Wow.
You know, we start two ninth graders, two 10th graders, three juniors. And then our whole pitching staff, except for our senior closer, who's our center fielder, along with a junior, the pitching staff is all juniors.
And I'm going to turn it back over to the host of this, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Network.
Oh, you're doing a fine job. He does a great job.
He does, okay. You should have been here last week. But I like what you said, because when COVID first came, it was like, how's it going to impact our sports? Not only at the high school, even down to the peewees and minor leagues, or all the way up. And it sounds like not only did you all take a chance to go ahead and grow through it, but now you talk about the way you talk about the makeup of your team. Sounds like we got a farm system in place here at Dixie, at Hollins High.
Yes,
sorry,
that's,
guys.
That's what we're looking at. The only thing about the COVID situation was, you know, the seniors that year, you know, they got shortened, know, and, you know, you feel bad. I mean, you know, because the seniors that I had, I mean, were close. You know, like I told them, you know, because a lot of them come back, you know, they were at our senior night game on Wednesday night, you know, just to be there with the seniors, our two seniors that we have, because those seniors were with them when they were here also. But, you know, like I told them, I said, you know, you were part of the start, you know, of this process. So, you know, all you guys are, you know, that were with me from the time I walked in the doors here, you know, are, you know, part of this growth, and, you know, where we're trying to get this program, you know,
that's exciting, because it sounds like the players we have currently now on the Royals are representing those seniors that were cheated out of that last season.
Exactly.
Kind of gives you a little bit more, you know, a little bit more gas in the engine, if you will. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Don't say sorry. The level of the show went up dramatically. When I went to the restroom, and I found a sponsor when I was in there for my personal breaks, and that will be the Clorox urinal soap, and I'll be getting a hold of them in the future. Hey, those shirts look fabulous, guys. Oh, yep. You got them printed already,
they,
Coach?
They just received them today at practice, our workout.
To wear to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We got to get this all over social media that you guys came down. And, you know, I was looking at your record when I got a hold of you, and, you know, and I looked tongue-in-cheek, the connection karma. But
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we'll take credit for that. But I enjoyed our first conversation so much, I was talking to assistant coach for St. Pete High, and this is where you really get a feel for what people think of your team. And Alex, I don't know if you met Alex. He helps out down here a little bit, and he came from California, and he was an assistant coach helping out at St. Pete his first year. And he said, "I'm telling you what," I asked him yesterday before the ball game. He said, "That is one heck of a team." And he says that Coach Rogers has done an incredible job. And this guy's gotten, you know, he's a little California smug. He'll be the first to admit it, about California baseball versus Florida baseball.
Right.
But he said, watching you guys, and I don't know how many times you played St. Pete High, but he said, they're the real deal. And I applaud you for what you've done, Coach.
Well, it's, you know, I'm not going to take all the credit because I've got a great assistant staff that works with these kids, and then, you know, the kids just, they work, they do what they're asked to do, and, you know, they never bat an eye, or, you know, they're working hard just to, you know, try to get this program to the level we would like to see it at.
Okay, now let me, here they're rolling in.
Yeah,
let me ask you this.
Okay.
You look younger. Is this kind of...
Well, I have my hat on, you know, if you...
Well, yeah,
you know,
well, you got gray hair. I got no hair, dude. But has this kind of given you, I mean, energized you?
Yeah, I mean, they've, you know, from the time that I walked in to at this point right now...
You boys won't need those. I talk loud enough.
They do. I mean, you know, they have fun. You know, they enjoy themselves. They, you know, they, when it's time to work, you know, they work. And it's been a good, like I said, it's been a great group of guys, you know, losing their two seniors, you know, from senior night the other night, you know, when the season, you know, is finished, you know, will be a big loss to see them go. And then, you know, but, you know, sooner or later they graduate and, you know, move on to the next level. Fortunately, the two seniors are moving on to further their education and play baseball.
So, oh, fabulous.
So that's an excellent
thing that says a lot. You're building a program then when kids can start thinking about it when they're playing in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and then they know that they're going to get an opportunity as a ninth grader, and then they're going to get an opportunity to participate 4 years and then potentially extend their career. And if they don't, they have some amazing memories. We're talking to the 2022...
PCAC.
PCAC. I was trying to get County a good acronym, but you can't get one out of there. PCAC Conference Champions. Of course, the Hollins Royals, very fortunate to have them come down today after a great season down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Now, you pick which direction we're going to go and who we're going to talk to.
Well, we can first let me just introduce.
Yeah, just introduce everybody.
Know.
Yeah.
Over here on my right is Bradley Hill, starting right fielder, left fielder for us. Next to him is Bradley is a junior. Brady Perry, starting right fielder.
Brady's got that.
He got that beach. Yeah, he's.
Oh, I like it. I live on Sunset Beach.
Yeah, but he's also a junior. Over here is John Lewis, a junior. He is. Let me say something about John. John came into the season penciled in as our number three starter. And
penciled in means you didn't have that locked up either, right? Penciled
in? No. He had it locked up.
Okay.
And then we had an injury to our what we call our 1A, 1B, and he went down the beginning of the season. And he just now has come back recently. He's here at the table, so I'll be introducing him. But John stepped into that number two role, and right now, John is 7-0 as a starter for us.
Congratulations, young man.
So
that's impressive.
He has done.
You win championships with arms. Everybody knows that at any level.
Tremendous.
Fabulous.
And then next to John is a junior, Billy Davies. He is.
I remember Billy.
One of our main relievers and middle relievers, and also closer. who's doing an excellent job for us. Over here to my left is the one that I was telling you about. He's a junior, Kenny Robinson, who was what we call our 1A, 1B. And he went down, and now he went through his rehab. He got his first start back, was it last week, week before last, against IMG through four innings of no-hit ball.
Against IMG?
Against one of the IMG teams, yes.
And kicked their butts all day long. The best teams money can buy.
Senior night, he got his second start, went three innings, and threw... he ran into a little bit of trouble, but, you know, he's in that working process. So, you know, we're hoping to, you know, be able to use him and have him in our district run for, you know, hopefully a district championship.
Well, and having, as across the street has proven, a lot of arms in the event that somebody goes down is critical. Obviously, you've got yourself a nice assembly of arms.
Exactly. And then over here next to Kenny is a ninth grader, Tegan Davies.
Ninth grader?
Brother of Billy, yes. He's at first base, playing first base for us.
Impressive young man.
Also a football player. He's an offensive lineman.
I'm keeping my distance from him. Or I'm just going to make friends and he's going to be my bodyguard. I got a good 4 years with him.
Exactly. So Coach Dave Neverline, our assistant coach. Dave has been with me all 3 years and was at Boca Ciega with me for 1 year while I was over there. So yes.
I bet the Pirates miss you, and the future is so bright with you and these Royals. Your shortstop here today?
No, the two seniors are on a Orlando trip to Disney. So
really?
Yeah,
they work, coming down to see the old man.
Yeah, it's a school school trip. They worked out this morning, and then they left. I think they were leaving on the bus like 1 o'clock or 1:30.
Well, good for him. I was just going to say that the coach Alex that I was talking to had nothing but incredible analysis of that kid's game. He said he very very impressed with that young man, the shortstop. For whatever that means, but in your senior. All right, so I don't think any of you last time were microphone shy, so we'll just move that over a little. Who you don't want to talk? Ferris Bueller. I can't throw Ferris on.
I'm going to move this one this way for.
There you go.
Where they?
All right, we'll start with you, young man. Well, congratulations on the success. You guys certainly have. Have other challenges that you're going to get some more karma. I see you guys winning the district. Talk about your favorite moment this year for you personally.
This year, my favorite moment. It was probably we were playing Palm Harbor.
Okay.
And it was the bottom of the seventh. There was two outs, and our pitcher, he gave up a hit to left field, and I was in the left, and I threw a dot home, and they held him on me. So then we ended up finishing that game in a tie and going home instead of losing it right there.
And I like to hear defensive plays that make a difference because people don't realize the importance of that. And as you know, the team across the street's a good example of that. You play defense, you got arms, and you play together. And as Coach said, you know, you have a cohesiveness. You guys know each other, so that's a great memory. And you guys are going to make some more. All right, young man, the shy one. You're not shy. Your favorite memory this year for you personally?
On Thursday night, the pitcher, our Ryland was pitching, and he went to throw over to first. It was a bad throw, and I picked up the ball in the bottom of the seventh inning, and bottom of the eighth inning. My bad, and I threw the kid out at the tying run out at third.
Wow, now that's a huge play.
Yes.
Yeah, and you didn't want to get on the mic and share that? Bravo, man. Hey, do you play in the Blue Jay Stadium up there for that?
Yes.
How cool is that? Yeah.
Well, we were there on Tuesday night for a regular season game with them.
I saw that.
And then beat them 10-3, and then we turned right back around. What the county does is they flip-flop each year who hosts, and so this year was the North.
Cool. Yeah, I lived across the street for a few months with my girlfriend and went to that park a lot. Nice park. Great job. Great memory. All right, young man. Sunshine. Reminded me of Sunshine on Remember the Titans. I remember that conversation. Your favorite memory this year?
The same game Brad was talking about against Palm Harbor. I was playing first that game, and I was hitting, but I don't really hit that much anymore. And so I was hitting, and I think we were down by one with a runner on second. And I had a base hit to right field with an RBI to put the tying run in, and that was my only hit of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at perfect timing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, exactly. That's fabulous, man. Do you miss batting?
No, not really.
Not really? Well, after that, you might. Fabulous job. Slide it over here to the. Now, as an old man, that's the coolest hat here, by far. Your favorite memory so far in this journey to win the district?
My favorite memory was on Thursday night in our PCAC.
Talk like you were excited about it.
When I was pitching during the last inning and just seeing the ball get hit to Dallas and knowing that he was going to get the out and that all of our hard work would pay off was really exciting.
Very exciting, and we got more.
Yes.
That's why I love having you guys come down. They just keep coming out of the woodwork, and it tells you, in all seriousness, how close you guys are, and you want to experience things together. So that was your favorite memory so far, mm-hmm. and you'll make some more. All right, let's switch back down to the youngsters that just showed up. Move that, and then we'll get to you. You're a ninth grader. You got to be patient, you know. Even though I'm getting a little nervous, I want to upset this cat. I figured you played catcher because he looked like a catcher. Okay, who just joined me? All right, your favorite, your name?
Justin Stiles.
And what year?
Ninth grader, 2007.
Amazing. Your favorite memory so far in this journey as you guys approach the district championship? I'm staying positive. As you approach and win the championship?
The PCAC win Friday night. My
Thursday,
favorite.
Thursday night.
Oh, it's Thursday? Oh, Thursday night.
Hey, when you're focused on a trophy, the days just all run together, right?
Yeah.
So that was your favorite memory?
Yeah.
Well, in the ninth grade, you got many more ahead of you, young man.
Yep.
All right, let's move the mic over to... I remember this. His dad's in the radio business. And you're not going to be shy this time.
No.
What? Did Dad tell you to talk loud in the mic?
And yes.
There you go. All right. He did a good job. All right. Now, your favorite memory so far this year. And you're a ninth grader, if I remember.
Yeah.
How could I forget you? Your favorite memory was a drunken basketball official. and I've never had a response like that ever since. So, your favorite memory, I'm going to be specific, baseball in this run to the district championship?
Introducing Dunedin to Owen. 0-3 against us.
Perfect.
What did he say? I didn't even hear
it. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. Say it one more time.
0-3 against Hollins.
0-3 against Hollins. That's beautiful. All right, you want to slide that up? I get nervous with him on the mic. I'm sorry. I don't know if he's going to talk about some drunken umpire. Which is a topic I'm hot on is... Yeah, they're all working. It just depends on what comes out of you guys' mouth. All right. You're next. Your best memory so far on this journey.
Say who you are.
I'm Alex Miller. I'm a junior. And my favorite memory was on my birthday, hitting my first high school home run.
Wow.
Yep. It was the day after we were here.
Was it really?
Yep.
You know what? That's one. Yeah, right there, champ. Yeah, he comes down. He's going to get injured. Can't play. How'd you get hurt? I hit my elbow on at Sports Connection at Fergs. Fergs, what were you doing down there? On your birthday.
Yep.
That's a memory for a lifetime, young man. Did anybody have it on video?
Yeah, I got like four angles, so I had to post them on Instagram, TikTok, all of those.
Bravo. I'd take that.
Gotta milk it.
For our world, for our social media.
Yeah.
Great job. That's going to be a hard one to up your entire life.
Yeah.
On your birthday, first home run in high school.
Yep.
All right. And now we'll get over here. You guys show up late and you get on before these guys who have been patient for me. Favorite memory?
I definitely say it was Thursday, PCAC. Now, I'm the best stat keeper in the county, I will say. I was keeping stats all game.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. Definitely, like, as Billy was pitching, I literally told one of the coaches, I said, I'm going to give you the stat sheet, I'm going to run out there, and we're going to go crazy. We get the last out, and we go crazy. We're on the mound and jumping on each other. And actually, our senior Dallas was screaming at Billy, I love you.
Well, you guys, in all seriousness, this is an old man statement, and Coach will probably tell you this. All you guys, whether you're ninth grade or the two seniors, you will love each other the rest of your lives. It's a unique bond that sports brings people. And, you know, it sounds a little weird at first, you know, and say, well, you know, he said I love you. You guys, in a unique way, will have reunions for the next how many decades, get together. You'll start to break down and look as horrible as I do. Well, maybe you guys won't. And enjoy every moment and things like this. So you do love each other. And I think, as Coach said, that kind of chemistry, not too many high school teams in the 21st century, especially a public school, can say they have this kind of camaraderie and bond and all want to hang out together with the clown of the group over here, whose father was in radio. I'd like to get some more comments out of his mouth, but I get a little nervous. But all of you are going to love each other for many years, and that's a great memory. And now to the ninth grader, who looks like he could be playing college freshman baseball right now. But it's nice to have someone like you at first and at catch. And it's a family affair. What's your favorite memory during this journey?
My favorite memory was definitely coming out in PCAC championship. It was two outs in the last inning, and I just made like a PFP, just easy play. And coming out, I got to record like an angle from us dogpiling on the mound. It was just,
you gotta be careful there, man. You guys are going to the dish. You don't want to hurt anybody. The dog piles on the mound.
Well, I got like an angle up close from my perspective of it. It was just
watching everybody, just taking in the moment, as they say. Yeah, well, you have the best position sitting there at first watching it all take place. I just wouldn't want you to be the last guy in the pile coming in on me if I was one of these smaller guys or ninth graders. So you guys have, and I'll bring Coach into the conversation. How many of you guys, put your hands up, have played together prior to high school baseball? One, two, three, six of you. Now that's impressive. I mean, so you guys have known each other since you were basically, you're still kids, but you've known each other since you were kids, and your families, and you did travel ball, and you've kept that continuity. So it shouldn't be that surprising that you get along and you have this success. And even the old timers welcome you with open arms. And many seniors probably have had to give up PT playing time for the younger guys, and that, you know, that's tough duty too, for the ego, but as a team goal, I'm very impressive, Coach, that you've got these kind of young men that would take that on.
Yeah, it was especially the first year when I took over the program, and saw the talent, and what these guys could do, on a baseball field, knowing that, there was going to be growing pains. But I've always believed that, why wait till, they're a junior, and now they've had 2 years to not really get a lot of experience. And when they could, get out on the field right from the get-go, not just because they were ninth graders, but because they were deserving to be out there. And I've always had that philosophy. I'm not one that, just because, you come into the program as a senior or a junior, that, you're just going to go straight out to the ball field. Everybody, even the ones that will finish this year as starters, they all know next year, you come back into our season as a starter, but you can, if somebody else takes that job away from you and you don't stay hungry, then you don't, you lose your
position. Well, that's a great coaching tool, because, they want to be on winning teams anyway. Okay.
Yes.
So if the egos get in the way, it typically doesn't create the cohesiveness and the team and the team camaraderie that it takes to win a championship, because it's a long season. I was talking to you guys, what, in January or February? And here, and here we are coming up in May, and you're still playing. That's a very long season, guys. Yes. in Florida. That's one of the only things at Iowa they get cheated on. You know, the guys that are passionate about baseball. I went to a Triple A game last Tuesday. I used to work for the Cubs. I think I told you that. There's like 100 people at a Triple A Chicago Cubs game because of the cold weather. I'm sure not one of you can imagine that. So be very, very. You're very fortunate to have this lengthy season. Now, I missed the opening for a personal reason. When you're talking to Ray, who do you guys play Tuesday night, and do you know what time yet?
We will play Tuesday night at 7:30. We don't know exactly who we'll
TBA,
play.
Okay.
We'll play the winner of Northeast High and St. Pete High.
Okay.
They play 4:30 on Monday. So.
And you've had success against both those teams
this
year.
Yes,
we had success against most teams this year.
That we did, yeah.
The only thing about playing teams that you've already played is many times, you know, I'm sure you got these guys prepared, they get a chip on their shoulder. They already know, you know, your nuances as a team.
It's always tougher that second time.
Absolutely. I don't care what sport it is.
You know, I just instilled in them that, you know, we don't take anything for granted. And every time we go out to the field, we grind for seven innings. And, you know, all I ask is that you give it everything you got, and we'll let the cards fall where they fall at the end.
Okay, so you play Northeast or you play St. Pete High?
Right.
You win that. How many games in the district to win the championship?
Championship will be Thursday night at 7:30.
Okay.
And we got a first round bye.
Okay. And then from the districts, where do you go?
Then the regional starts. The quarterfinal regionals will start the following week.
Where do they hold those at?
That is undetermined because it all depends on who all gets in.
Oh, but you do play at high school
yes.
venues?
Yes.
You don't go to, like they do with football and basketball.
Not until whoever makes it to the state will play in Fort Myers, I believe, is hosting the stadium.
Will you play where the Twins have spring training? Is that where you play?
Yeah, whatever stadium.
That's a nice stadium. Yeah. You guys will get there.
Yeah, so that's where that is. Before we move on, I'd also like to say something about our administration at our school.
Absolutely.
Mr. Florio, who is our principal, just a very big supporter, not just of baseball, but he is supporter of all athletics there at Hollins High School. And our athletic director, Coach Zebley, and our athletic coordinator, Coach Jones, they are so supportive of not just baseball, but all of athletics that go on there and support the programs. You couldn't ask for anything more out of their support.
Well, guys, why don't we give Coach Rogers a round of applause? Because I really believe programs that are successful, things start at the top. And, you know, he just thanked the administrator. So it starts there, then your coaching staff. But another round of applause, because they're listening or here, your families that have stuck by you for all these years, and peewees and traveling and the sacrifice and commitments that people make and you've made, you know. That's your outside team that you need to never forget about and respect. And I'm giving a lecture, but
that's fine.
That's just the reality of it.
Yes, the families, I call them Royal Nation. You couldn't ask for a better group of parents that support these kids day in and day out. We couldn't do it without them. I mean, it's just the way it goes.
Well, you know what? I think you guys got the coolest gear that I've encountered too. Same color as Jesuit, but you guys are my adopted team. I've had the Jesuit guys, but you guys need to rock and roll. Get yourself to state. Go down to Fort Myers and create memories for a lifetime. You've already done that, but thanks a lot, Royals, for coming down to Fergs again, and I appreciate very much. And wish you well. I'll be talking to a lot of you. Down the road, majority of you, actually, all of you. So I'll be back next year.
Yep, everyone.
We'll just hope that I'm still on the planet next year. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, my age, it's an iffy proposition. All right, fellas, kick some butt. Sherry, make sure you get a good picture of all the guys and I face that direction. I'll make a call to Coach McCarney, and we'll continue the show. But Yeah, this has
Mike,
been an
absolute... Thank you very much for having us here.
Oh, of course. It's a pleasure. And it's a pleasure to see kids having success and moving forward. And I'm looking forward to following you guys. I should have got you a game, but I gave you Connection Karma. Now if I came, I think I'd hex you. I don't want to hex you. All right, guys. Have a great Saturday, and good luck on Tuesday. I'm sure there'll be success on your end. You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. I just love the conversations with the high school kids, and especially a group like this. You got ninth graders all the way to the seniors that have contributed, and they've had a wonderful season. The Hollins Royals on their way to a district championship is what I'm hoping. And now we're going to switch gears. Roy Kennedy and I are going to talk to my buddy Dan McCarney. Talk a little bit about name, image, and likeness. You got to be a proud, you're a proud Dixie Hollins graduate there.
Yeah, but, and coach, I say this every week, Mike. What is it with these athletes, these kids today in these high school programs? These kids are big. Big boys.
Well, I don't know about the big boys, but I was giving up on the youth of America until I started doing these conversations.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you what, these guys are the real deal. Great young kids, and as I stumble, fumble, and bumble.
Well, like Coach was saying there, I mean, you know, and I talked about this last week, of course, with Coach Gillespie from the Eckerd College Triton program basketball, but... we're still talking about. We're still only 2 years removed from that crazy time when we were all kind of locked in and doing that safer from distance thing. And it sounds like Coach and what the Hollins High Royals were able to do was they were able to take lemons and make lemonade. They kind of doubled down, fortified themselves to the training and the process, and now you're seeing it with the success they're having on the field this year in 2022.
Well, and how about the fact that they got ninth graders contributing?
That guy was huge. These kids are big.
You're talking about the first baseman and the catcher. His brother's on the team. Talk about some fun times from a family perspective.
Yes, sir. Good stuff.
And and that's the positive perspective that we like to talk about. But I didn't realize that they're going to be playing St. Pete High again. And I don't know if you've met Alex, but we'll talk about positive things. Here's the most positive guy I've ever had on my show. He's going all the way back to 2001 with the Iowa Sports Connection. And he's been on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection several times. I like to call him friend, Dan McCarney. And he's kind enough to join us. How are you, Mac?
Great, Mike. How you doing today?
Doing wonderful. You would have liked the conversation we just had. We had a high school up here. They're on their way to the district baseball championships, Hollins High School, public school. But they're playing the ninth graders along with the seniors, and all the kids have bought into it. And it's the team camaraderie. They've got a coach about our age group who believes in the principles and the fundamentals of success and has taken a program from the ashes, and now he's going to play in the district. And it was just it reminded me of the old days talking to high school coaches and kids back in Iowa, and I know that's something that that you always enjoyed about the positive perspective.
No question. And, you know, the amazing impact, and you realize it at the time, but not nearly as much until you get older and years pass, the unbelievable impact that high school coaches can have on you. All the way back to junior high coaches, when you start, I started football, started playing when I was in seventh grade at Southeast Junior High there in Iowa City, Iowa. And was fortunate to play. We had a fifth-year reunion of my city high championship team last summer, and then got a chance to play at Iowa and coach at Iowa, Iowa State, and South Florida, Florida, some great places, Wisconsin. But the impact that those coaches can have on you, way beyond the field and the court and the track, it's not nonsense. It's not lip service, Mike. It's real. The things that you remember and the things they put in place about values and work ethic and loyalty and being accountable to one another and trust and all those things go back. So it's just so cool to hear about coaches that you're talking about and young people and the impact that coaches can have regardless of the sport.
He's Dan McCarney, and what's really cool was I was back in the great state of Iowa, or at least you and I think that it is, last week to see my grandkids, and little Drake Relays activity, unfortunately. America's Athletic Classic, one of the greatest track meets in the world as far as they're concerned. They call it a track and field carnival now, world greats and people from across the country. And so I was getting excited about Monday, and I pick up the Des Moines Register, and lo and behold, on the front page, there's my friend Dan McCarney, and talking to head football coach Matt Campbell, who was a proud papa basically with the draft last night, as he sees his wonderful running back get drafted in the second round by the New York Jets. But to see the assistance and the support you're still giving back to the program that you built, I was very impressed and proud to be your friend. And let's talk about We Will, the collective, because it has a lot to do with what's going on here in Florida and across America. And it's NIL, its face represented itself, this kid from Miami already, and this is something that you're behind that might be able to combat the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, Mike, you know, when I was asked to join and to help out and be on the board and give...
Mac?
Sounds like he was getting ready to go.
Mac, I'm going to call you right back. We have a little bit of a technical difficulty, my friend. I'll call you right back. We can't hear you on this end. You got this, brother?
Which is exactly one of those things you get with live radio. As much as you'd like to, you know, we reach out, we can get these fantastic interviews and people on here, but sometimes we have technical glitches, and believe me, brother, if it wasn't for my producer, Ken Knowles, last week, I would have had a plethora of those problems, but try to get Dan back on the phone here. He was just getting...
Come on, Mike.
Okay, there you go, brother. I don't know what I did on my end, but I fumble, stumble, and bumble with this 21st century. So continue with your description of We Will Collective, please.
Yeah, what it is, Mike, it's a way to give back. I don't know where I got cut off there, but if I get asked to help at the University of Iowa or Iowa State University in some small way, if I can give back for what they gave me, 31 years combined at those two schools as a player and coach at Iowa and a coach at Iowa State, I'm going to do that. So it's been set up at Iowa State, obviously with NIL, name, image, and likeness. All of us in the profession, I was in it for 45 years in Division I football. If we can somehow do more for our student athletes, men and women, somehow, some way, let's do it. And now within the rules and the regulations, this is what you can do. And there's different ways of doing it, Mike. What we set up at Iowa State is this. It's a nonprofit organization. It's designed to help our student athletes achieve their degrees while making a difference in the communities. It's a tool to retain our student athletes. So here's what we're going to do. We set it up with charity X, Y, and Z. They can hold a fundraising event. We can pay student athletes to use their name, image, and likeness to help that charity achieve their goals and their mission. Instead of just, well, here's a check, go play video, go sit in your apartment, hang out. If we're going to give money to our student athletes at Iowa State, starting with football and men's basketball, with obviously in the future branching out to men's and women's sports, other sports, then they're going to go give back and help these charities raise money, whether it's Special Olympics or you name the list. It's endless. Go raise money for a hospital. Go raise money for veterans. Go raise money, whatever it might be. Give back to that community, and that's how we're going to set it up at Iowa State.
Well, and you know, people tire of me talking about Iowa, but it's relevant. You were at USF with Jim Leavitt back in the day, and you guys built that program to, you know, national recognition and putting 40,000 butts in the seats over at, was it Ray J yet, or was it?
Oh, yeah. No, 2007, we won 9 games. We went to number 2 in the country. We beat Auburn at Auburn in overtime. We beat West Virginia, ranked in the top 5. We beat Louisville, ranked in the top 10. It was an incredible run. And twice, listen to me now, Mike, twice in that season of our home games, Ray J, you couldn't get a ticket. It was sold out. So it breaks my heart when I see a lot of empty seats in that stadium, because I know you can fill it. We did. We had a team that the fans wanted to support. And the students came out, wherever the damn stadium is, if you put a real good product out there, they can come support you. So my 1-year experience before I went with Urban Meyer to win a national championship in Florida, we packed that place, and the crowds were phenomenal, and the students were incredible. It was an incredible home atmosphere in Raymond James Stadium, and I hope we can get back to that, because we sure as hell did it in 2007.
Well, don't you think the Bulls could maybe take this this same We Will collective to assist them? Because, you know, they're up against Miami, they're up against FSU in Florida. They're in the same dilemma as a lot of the schools. Even though, you know, Iowa State's in a Power Five, we know the reality of it. And USF and UCF's of the world need to maybe capture and utilize this creative piece that you guys in Ames, Iowa have come up with.
There's no doubt, and there's no doubt they can. And the potential for that program, I've always said, Mike, and I'm just down the road in Sarasota, nothing will change my mind whether I was on the West Coast, in the Midwest, Northeast, or an hour away from Tampa. USF should have a tremendous football program every year, all the time. No question in my mind. Great recruiting base, phenomenal university, academics off the chart. The many new things with the facilities too. You don't have to have a new stadium to win at South Florida, and I'm walking proof of that as an assistant head coach and defensive line coach with Jim Leavitt when we did it. And we did it the right way. We didn't cut any corners. We didn't break any rules. We did it the right way. But there's no question. But they've got to look to partner with other organizations. And when we did it, what we're doing at Iowa State, Mike, this is not okay. We're going to go out on the road and we're going to promise recruits money to come to this university. This is about retaining our student athletes. So you still make your decisions based on academics, the culture, the coaching staff, the system, the head coach, the relationships that are built, the trust and the respect that you have built with coaches and the environment that you have, the atmosphere. Once they're there, then let's help retain them and do some things to make their lives even better when they come to your school. And there's no reason why they can't do that at South Florida, too.
We're talking to Dan McCarney here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're right across the street from Tropicana Field as Ray Kennedy and I talk to Dan McCarney about this issue. And as I said, and Ray brought this up earlier, how do we... And Kirk Herbstreit was just livid about how they're going to bring this genie back in the bottle. And it just, the situation down in Miami recently, this kid wants $800,000 or he's transferring. And it's going to be very difficult to put this thing in reverse and get their arms around it. They should have done a lot more preparation, in my personal opinion, my peanut opinion, on... this NIL, it's going to become a mess, and this is a prime example.
There's no question, Mike. There's no question. It's scary. Is it going to be the wild, wild west now, or you're going out and they're going to, young men and young ladies are going to go to the highest bidder? Is that what this thing's going to become? I hate to think about that. I hate to hear that, but it's a real possibility within the rules now that they've set up. I would have loved to have. I'm telling you, I would have loved to have. Had a thing set up where any and all student athletes, men's and women's sports, receive a certain stipend, a certain amount of money. Now, where it comes from and how much that is, let's go ahead and determine what that's going to be, but make it fair so that we're not sitting here at the University of Texas, as I understand it right now, every offensive lineman's got a $50,000 paycheck coming at him. If you're an offensive lineman at Texas, now it doesn't, from what I understand, whether you're an all Big 12 player or you haven't played a damn down yet, that's, you're getting money to come to Texas if you're an offensive lineman.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And then you start getting away from the integrity of this great game that we call college football. And it's not about the things that I mentioned earlier when you're making decisions about where's the biggest paycheck. And that gets real scary.
Coach, hi, Ray Kennedy here. I have a question for you because, and we talked about that with the NIL. It goes crazy. They make the rule change this year. And do you find, as we're starting, people are starting to hear more about the We Will and programs like this, where we can still make sure those college players do receive a stipend and do receive a little bit of money. You know, they need to live and maybe to get some food and have a little fun, that college experience. Do you find that you're, as people are more hearing more about this program, it's being embraced as a chance for, I don't want to say self-regulate, but as the NCAA kind of wiped their hands of the whole thing, it's going to give us a chance to rein programs like this in and maybe bring a little more order back to the college athletics.
Great point. And that's exactly why we set it up the way we did. And there may be teams that say, hey, you know, that's universities, that's a great way to do it. Let's model it. Let's get some information. And maybe some of them say, listen, within the rules right now, let's go get our donors, let's get a bunch of money, and let's just start paying the best athletes in the country to come to our school. That's what that's what you really worry about, what this thing can become, because the unbelievable character, integrity, and amazing experiences that I went through in 45 years in Division I football wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And I learned from Hayden Fry a long, long time ago. There was never any one recruit. I recruited some really, really good ones around some of the best that ever played and coached the game. There was never any one recruit worth jeopardizing your entire athletic department, your football program, or your university. And I lived by that for 45 years. And you worry that within these rules now and the NIL, the way it's open game, this thing may get away from all that and the integrity may be long gone. And it may just be going to the highest bidders, I mentioned earlier. That's really worrisome for the future of college football.
Well, and I have to defer back to Iowa again. We talk about this transfer portal, and we just saw it happen with the Iowa State men's basketball program, and it was national news. I mean, that transfer portal is another issue that these college administrators and ADs and coaches have to deal with. Do you think you would have gone the same career path if you would have had to deal with all of these different balls that you have to juggle that are non-football related, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, great question, Mike. And as a head coach, you're in charge of 150 people every day, the trainers, the managers, the players, the coaches, you answer to your administration, all your fans. There's times where you might have 50, 60, 70, 80, 100,000 people in the stands. There's hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions, watching your games. As we both know, as we all know, guys, not everybody feels like they can be a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher or a radio commentator, but everybody thinks they can coach. So you're in a business walking in the shoes of everybody that you run into thinks they can do your job. And you better have broad shoulders and some thick skin, because you're going to have to get through that. But those things really make it tough. And the transfer portal, as you mentioned, T.J. Ostenberg is a really close friend of mine. He and Billy Finley brought me in last October to talk to their basketball teams. And I got a chance to watch Matt Campbell's team get after Kansas that weekend. But they lost their point guard. Obviously, he's not going someplace else for nothing. And wherever he ends up, and I haven't heard anything yet, I think he's got it narrowed down to some schools. But I'm sure the NIL will have something to do with that, because TJ evaluated him. He recruited him. No, I take that back. He was there in place, but he had to re-recruit him when Steve Prohm was let go and TJ came in. He did a great job. They took him from 2 wins to 22, almost unheard of in the history of college basketball, Division I. 2 wins one year to 22 the next. So the cat is leading the program. TJ Ostenberger knows what he's doing, and yet it wasn't enough in the end to maintain and keep building on the success of last year. So you hate to see him go, but TJ used the transfer portal. You can lose guys, but you can also bring guys in that can impact you right away. I wouldn't like it. Let me tell you something. We've laughed a number of times, myself and a lot of other college coaches that I coached with and coached against since that transfer portal. There's so many freshmen that would have hauled butt, guys, and been long gone if they could transfer right away as freshmen in all the years I was around. As soon as we start gnawing on their butts about going to class, you're going to being on time at the tutors, you got a dental appointment, make sure you're there, you got to go see the doctor here, make sure you're at all your classes, we got 5:30 workouts tomorrow morning, all those things, and they just say, hell with it. Or they're not starting right away, and if they could have left, they would have left. And a whole bunch of those guys that would have left, that stayed, end up being some of the best players in the history of those schools, in the history of the football program. So it does make it tough. And it's hard to keep a real solid, stable roster when you may lose 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 guys at the end of spring, at the end of fall, because they want to transfer.
And of course, the sad thing about that is the time you've invested, the commitment financially. And the NCAA has themselves to blame. That's for another show. But then you've got a Bryce Hall who went in the second round yesterday to the New York Jets, Iowa State, and he's got a great a story of his mother and his success. You kept him around. People talked about him going out early. So Matt Campbell can use that. And that's a story across the country with all these programs. But it just doesn't seem like enough to encourage these kids to want to go to a school that's not a, you're a Power 5, but you're not a power, if you will.
Right. No, and that's the thing you just hate. And I loved recruiting. I really did. If you wear a lot of hats as a head coach, but as an assistant, Hayden Fry believed in me, and Kirk Ferentz gave us opportunities at 24 and 25 years old. Got jobs before we probably earned them, before we deserved it. I mean, he saw something in us we didn't see in ourselves. But the first thing we wanted to do, because we knew we weren't going to keep our jobs, you better go sign some really good players and don't break any rules, because if along the way, if you do, I'll fire you before you hit that door. And we always knew that. Don't break the rules, but let's go get really good players. And when I was able to get John Alt and Reggie Roby and some of these incredible players when we hadn't won at Iowa for 20-some years, you really find out about building relationships and trust and being able to close deals and sound different than those 40, 50, 60, 70 other coaches to recruit and get a young man or a young woman to say, yes, I want to come to your school and be part of something special. And now you just worry with the rules. Okay, I'm coming, but if I don't start having a lot of success right away and I don't look like I'm going to be one of your best players, and there's just no – the patience isn't there as it used to be, and then you get – agents and you get uncles and you get grandmothers and you get parents and you get all these people that think they should be starting right away, then they just say, listen, hell with it, I'm gone, see you, bye, thanks, I'm gonna go someplace else. So I don't like that. I really don't. I don't like it. For 100 years we have you have to have some kind of leverage when guys are going to quit, when young men are just going to say, this is too tough, I'm leaving, I'm gonna go there, I'll jump here, I'll move there. Well, when you had to lose a year of eligibility, which we did forever during my whole career, that was one of the things that really helped many times, I think, get young men and young people saying, let me give this thing a little more time. I do need to work harder. I do need to get better work habits. I do need to improve these fundamentals, these techniques. I do need to have a better study habits. I need to make more of an investment. I need to be a better team player. I need to be more a better part of the team chemistry of this team, whatever it might be, instead of the old crap hits the fan and let me pack my bags and let me go try someplace else right away.
Mac, I appreciate you taking time and chiming in. I'll get this article mailed to you. It's always a breath of fresh air to have you on. And if you would have ever come in my living room with my kids, it would have been a done deal with your passion, Mac, for life. And I'm blessed to have you as a friend that I can reach out to from time to time.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be with you guys. You got a first-class show there, and I'm always proud to be with you. I just got a note from my wife. Barry Alvarez's grandson just got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys a little bit ago. Jake Ferguson, he played, number 84, played at Wisconsin and just got drafted a little while ago by the Cowboys. So I'll guarantee you now that Barry's retired, he and Cindy are going to spend a lot of time down in Dallas.
And they don't make him any better than Barry Alvarez, with the exception of Dan McCartney. Have a great weekend, and tell your bride hello.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. Bye-bye.
Dan McCartney, and I tell you what, he's just a superb guy.
Gives me cause for hope. As is NIL, the Wild Wild West, everything we're kind of adjusting. The programs are going to take coaches like Dan and programs are going to take it upon themselves to rein in a little bit of a semblance of you know, just not craziness, and get these athletes a little more than just trying to get paid and then forgetting about the whole student athlete experience.
All right, Ray, thanks for coming down and
thank you,
and contributing as always. Here we are at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. They're rolling in for the 410 first pitch over at Tropicana Field for the Triton sailing team. That was unique. Of course, Hollins Baseball, your alma mater, that will be winning the district championship here on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Dan McCartney, of course, helping out Big Ed up on the controls.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.